From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beats California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a street in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator in front. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of his second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, with you once again in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, and welcoming everybody tuning in coast to coast across North America on SiriusXM Channel 93, and everyone listening on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and of course tuning in worldwide with our live streaming at horseracingradio.net. So many people experiencing, well, frigid temperatures across the country, and we hope we can warm you up with a couple of hours of horse racing talk here this morning on the Equine Forum. JT, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. It's actually warm here in Lexington today with the overnight rains.
Balmy. It's going to be a balmy 62 here in Lexington, yeah, which is completely different from other parts of the country. Mark Hennig up at Belmont Park tweeted out a picture this morning of the snow-covered stable area. Looked very chilly at Belmont.
Yeah, he called it the winter wonderland. I saw nothing wonder about it. It was looked ridiculously cold to me. I'm not a snow fan.
It will be a different story in the bluegrass tomorrow because we're expecting the cold temperatures that are now in the Midwest to move over this way. Luckily, the only racing being held here in the state of Kentucky is at Turfway Park right now. So we'll see how things play out on that front, if indeed that they're going to continue to race or if they're going to have to call it a day based on those temperatures that are coming in tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow is going to be a lot different than today.
You and I making the trip northward tomorrow, my friend.
Yes.
Braving the elements to watch the Bengals and the Steelers.
Yeah, we're braving the elements in a suite. It's going to be kind of nice.
Yeah, but for me, it's like sitting in a dining room at a racetrack. I can't do it, right? I'll go to the suite. I'll stay warm maybe during a commercial break, a timeout, but I know you get seats right out in front, right? I'm going to be dressed warm. I'm going to be out there in the elements, waving the terrible towel.
I'm going to be close to the bar and the hors d'oeuvre platters.
Watching on TV.
You got a window. Have you ever been there before?
Millions of times, yes.
Yeah. So, but I mean, millions of times? You're that old.
Well,
you've been to millions
of times. I've been there a lot, put it that way.
But it's like, you don't have to be outside.
Right.
You can see perfectly through the glass.
I'm going to be outside. The only two times I do not mind the cold weather, you know how much I hate the cold. If I'm at a football game, a Pittsburgh Steelers game, or if I am deer hunting, that's it. Yeah. Other than that, you can have the
cold
weather.
You're usually hammered at both events, aren't you?
Well, yeah, pretty much. How else are you going to deal with it? Hey, listen, a bit of a somber week in the world of thoroughbred racing. A couple of individuals passing away this week that were not only well-liked, but in a lot of circles, beloved. And you had Steve Sexton, who was the longtime president of Churchill Downs, who passed away at the young age of 57. And then you had jockey Garrett Gomez, who tragically was found dead in a hotel casino near Tucson, Arizona, and at the age of 44, and very, very sad. I did not get to know Steve Sexton nearly as well as so many people in the sport did, but I did know Garrett Gomez quite well, and he was always such a good friend of HRN, such a good friend of mine and my wife Michelle's, and it's very, very tragic on both accounts there with both Steve and with Garrett.
Yeah, two really nice guys. You know, that makes it even harder when somebody passes away and they're not noted for, being all that great.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. But these guys were both, as you mentioned, beloved. They were guys that were, you know, just excellent people and thoughtful of others. And, you know, that's very sad. We also had Walter Swinburne pass away.
Yes. Yeah.
This week as well. So it's just been a little bit rough for a lot of racing people around the world and in the United States.
Yeah, our thoughts, our prayers going out to those families. And we're going to look back on the life and the career of jockey Garrett Gomez with his longtime agent Ronnie Anderson, who will be with us right around 8:35 Eastern time this morning. Don't miss that segment. Ronnie, when I talked to him on the phone yesterday, understandably moved and emotional with this particular situation because of how close he and Garrett were throughout his riding career. And let's face it, when Garrett was on his A game, he was as good as anybody out there.
Yeah, very, very talented guy and you know, excellent horseman you know, just the whole thing is tragic, really.
Yeah, very sad. We'll do that at 8:35 Eastern. We are just 140 days, 9 hours, 27 minutes, and 49 seconds away from the first Saturday in May 2017. That's Saturday, May 6th, in the Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs. And there are some notable 2-year-old races on the docket today. In particular, the Sugar Bowl Stakes down at the fairgrounds. And Brett and Brereton Jones of Airdrie Stud going to be well represented in that one. They have two entries in there. They have Running Mate, who is a son of their top freshman sire, Creative Cause, trained by Larry Jones. And they have Keep Talking, who is trained by Tom Proctor. And Brett Jones is going to be with us right around 9 o'clock Eastern to look at those two colts and talk about what they're doing in that attempt to win the Kentucky Derby here in 2017.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see that race. You know, Running Mate is so fast. He looks like he might have that field at his mercy. And I'm surprised that they're running Keep Talking short again.
You think he would stretch out?
I would think so.
Well, you take a look at Running Mate. Let's go back to him for a minute. I mentioned Larry Jones, the trainer. He's a son of Creative Cause out of a Street Cry mare. So here's a horse that, racing short for the third consecutive time, he has been dominant in his first two races. Nobody's even been close to him. And, you know, if he continues on this path, there's no reason to think that he's not going to stretch out and be effective when the distances get longer.
Yeah. Well, that's it remains to be seen. I was a little bit surprised, too, that especially if they have an eye on the Kentucky Derby, that they haven't, you know, thought about running in a race that was at least two turns. But we'll see what Brett has to say. He's a very sharp guy.
Why did you think they would stretch Keep Talking out as opposed to running him short, outside of the pedigree being by Hall of Famer Ghost Zapper?
Well, that's what I'm thinking Derby now. You know, it's getting late. You just gave the countdown, right? We're 5 months away.
We're even closer now, by the way.
Yeah.
In the last 140 days, 9 hours, 25 minutes, and 48 seconds.
Yeah. The clock keeps ticking, as they say. So, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's time to get the ball rolling here. They got the LeCompte coming up next month, right? So,
yeah.
You know, hey.
You want to text Proctor? You want me to text him right now and tell him, hey, what are you doing?
No, I really.
Hey, Jude thinks you should run him long. Scratch today, find a race that's two turns.
You know what? When I gave a horse to Tom Proctor to train for Mr. House, and we're walking back from the track at Keeneland one day, Tom kind of slows down, if that's even possible, and looks at me and says, "I never thought I'd be training for you," and I just started to laugh. But, you know, I never called Tom to bother him about the horse at all. And he used to call me, as a matter of fact. "Oh, I haven't heard from you." I go, "Well, you know, no reason for me to call." I said, "You know what you're doing." He goes, "You know, I never seen anybody like you." He goes, "You know, you never call. You don't bother me." He goes, I hated training for trainers. But he said, "You know, you're totally different." And I go, "I gave you the horse because I know you know what you're doing, and I don't need to tell you what to do or how to do it."
Right.
And that's just how I am.
That's a trainer's dream.
I am.
You hear those words?
I am a trainer's dream. Yeah. Yeah.
Spoken like a true former trainer, my friend.
Yeah, I know how aggravating it is. Tom's out there every day with the horse. What am I going to tell him? Now, if somebody asks my opinion, I mean, a lot of times people call and ask me what they what I think they should do with the horse or whatever. And that's fine if they ask me, but you know, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than being that guy.
Well, in addition to agent Ron Anderson and Brett Jones this morning on the Equine Forum, you're also going to hear from Ron Nicoletti at Gulfstream Park. Gulfstream, a big day today. They have several stakes races, including a trio of grade three events. Ronnie will be here at 9:25 Eastern to handicap those races for you. And who knows, maybe a mystery guest or two. We'll see how the show plays out over the course of the next 2 hours. There's a big race on the West Coast today, too, at Los Al. We're going to tell you all about that one and a little horse by the name of California Chrome when we come back. It's all ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Stallion Ghost Sapper, the sire of seven greatest stakes winners in 2016, including Grade 1 winners Shaman Ghost and Green Zapper, plus the exciting undefeated two-year-old McCracken.
But McCracken is bearing down on the outside. Here's McCracken in wild shot with a 16th to go, and McCracken grabs the lead 100 yards out, and he does it again. McCracken wins the Kentucky Jockey Club from off the pace by a length.
McCracken stamped himself a major Kentucky Derby contender with another impressive victory at Churchill Downs. Ghost Sapper has produced 9 Grade 1 winners, 6 millionaires, and 3 champions, so it's easy to see why his yearlings have been so well received in 2016, selling for up to $825,000. Ghost Sapper was the number 4 Keeneland September Book 1 sire, with yearlings averaging $417,000. Ghost Sapper, standing at Adina Springs. Learn more by visiting adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pin hooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
They're coming down for the finish. It's Catapult with the lead. Strike Midnight challenged but could not surpass Catapult, who wins the Gio Ponti Stakes.
Catapult's determined victory in the Gio Ponti Stakes at Aqueduct made the $350,000 yearling purchase the newest stakes winner for leading sire Kitten's Joy. With over $10 million in progeny earnings, Kitten's Joy is the leading turf sire in America for the fourth year in a row and currently ranks number 5 on the general sire list. Kitten's Joy, world class at Ramsey Farm.
Since 1940, the National HPPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HPPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Frosted Letting Go. He'll be 5 wide on the turn. Then came Candy Boy Gun Pit and Opportunity as they flattened for the run of the judge. California Chrome out wide and loomed up. Sure Wish in the center, Bob DeHidge on the rail, they get away from Special Fighter, but California Chrome has gone into overdrive, he's 2 lengths in front, he's clear of Bob DeHidge.
You love that call by Terry Spargo, don't you?
I do. It's one of my favorites, if not my favorite.
Alchemy.
Alchemy in Dubai. Well, you know, being an Alchemy fan for many years, and it's just really cool. I mean, I don't know if he scripted that or if it just came to him, but either way, it was brilliant.
California Chrome is the world's richest thoroughbred, and the richest thoroughbred in the history of the sport. 14 million plus in career earnings. He's won 15 of 25 lifetime starts, including that win in the Dubai World Cup back on March 26th of this year. Judy comes out of that effort in the Breeders' Cup Classic, where he was beaten by three-year-old Arrowgate, and now returns this afternoon in what is being called the Winter Challenge at Los Alamitos. It's going to be run as race number 9, 7:28 Eastern Time is the post. That's the last race on their program today. California Chrome, 1-5 on the morning line. Didn't scare off many horses, though, Jude, because this is a full field of 10, two also eligibles. What do you make of that? Why would you run against Chrome?
Well, they're paying everybody $10,000 to be in the race.
Well, there you go.
So that helps.
That helps.
And the other thing is Chrome may not run if the track is off. They've been kicking that back and forth. It was raining yesterday in California. It's forecast to rain again today. So I don't know what the situation's going to be out there. So there's a chance he may not even run in the race. But the other people are still going to get their 10 grand plus run for the purse. So it was a good thing to enter. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to run, but you certainly want to take a chance at maybe picking up some free money.
Well, Chrome going to have to overcome the outside post if he's going to win this one, my friend. Post
well,
10.
He could break behind the gate and beat those horses. And
I led you right into that.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where he's got the field over a barrel. They don't run races on paper. We know that. And every horse has a chance to get beat. Things happen in races. But, you know, all things being equal, if he has any kind of trip at all. And I mean, I certainly think the nice thing about Los Alamitos is the turns are sharp. So you don't lose a tremendous amount of ground. It's not like going wide at Belmont Park.
Yeah.
You know, so even if he does get hung out wide, I don't think it's going to bother him. Plus, he's used to working in the middle of the track over there. So, anyway.
I know that they don't run races on paper, obviously, right? They run them on the racetrack. But on paper, you look at the numbers that California Chrome has been running, his speed figures. And, of course, you and I, Jude, are disciples of the Briss past performances. His numbers are so superior to the rest of his competition. The only horse who has been somewhat consistently in the triple digits with their speed figures is number 4, Point Piper, who comes out of a second place finish in the Grade 3 Native Diver at Del Mar back on November 27th. Is Point Piper the most likely candidate to pull off an upset today?
Yeah. It'd be an upset if he beats California Chrome, because that will always be an upset. It was an upset when Arrowgate won the Breeders' Cup Classic. You know, I wasn't surprised by it, but a lot of other people were. He looks like the logical horse on paper. Usually when you have a race like this where there's an overwhelming, outstanding favorite, what I like to do is like not even look at that horse, handicap the race like that horse isn't in it, and then see who might, you know, be one of the contenders. And he's certainly, you know, the top contender. I thought there were three horses that had a chance in the race if he didn't run, or if you were going to play an exact or something. It's a race I wouldn't bet at all, but especially if the track's off. But definitely Point Piper's the horse to beat.
There's only one other horse in the race who has a triple-digit speed figure showing in their past performances, and that's number 1, Howdy, who is going to be a long shout in here. That triple-digit figure coming several races ago, he would need an absolutely monster race. He'd have to surpass that. I think it was a 101. He'd have to surpass that figure and go way beyond it if he wants to contend in here.
Yeah, if he wants to beat California Chrome, yeah. He was one of the horses that I left in. I left in Howdy, number 1, Point Piper, number 4, and number 7, Avanti Bello, who's never run a race in triple digits, at least in his chart. But he's a son of Include out of Amiz and Mast. I thought he might actually like the mud a little bit. He's been running very well lately. He's been in the money in his last four starts. Won his last race for Doug O'Neill. And Drayden Van Dyke gets aboard, subbing for Flavion Pratt, who is resting and vacationing in France.
Yeah, let's look at the bigger picture here with California Chrome. This race at Los Alamitos is a prep race for that $12 million Pegasus World Cup at Gulfstream Park on January 28th. We'll be there to bring you that exclusive radio coverage on the Horse Racing Radio Network. But you take a look at this particular scenario with him running in a prep race. His main competition in that Pegasus World Cup is likely to come from the horse that beat him last time in the Classic. That's Arrowgate, who will then be a four-year-old for Bob Baffert. Arrowgate is going to train up to the Pegasus World Cup without a prep race in between.
Oh, did they scrap the, what was it, the San Pasquale or whatever?
Is that supposed to be a definite? I hadn't heard that that was definite.
I don't know if it's definite or not. They were talking about if California Chrome doesn't run here, that he may run in the San Pasquale. I think it's the San Pasquale.
So that would set up a rematch there if Arrowgate runs. Yeah.
I'm surprised either one is actually running. I mean, in today's day and age.
Really? You would think that they just train right up to that $12 million race?
That's what I would think.
That's a long layoff, though.
Who are they going to face? Who are the two best horses in the world?
They're the two best horses in the world. Okay. But are they the two best horses in the world if they're coming off of a long layoff like that?
Well, it's not that long of a layoff.
Well, what is it? November, beginning of November. Right. January. So it's almost 3 months.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing that they could do, and this would have only happened back in the day, like when I was training horses, is that Baffert and Art Sherman could work them together one morning. Now, I mean, that's something Whittingham would do, right?
Really?
Well, I mean, Whittingham had the capability. He was like Pletcher, you know. He had the horses. He had the capability of setting up a work like that. I got to do that one time in my life. I worked three fillies, a mile and an eighth, at Santa Anita before we shipped to Del Mar, and it was a fantastic work. Two of them came out of that work to win, and the other one ran second.
Wow.
But it was, that was the only time in my life I had three fillies that were good enough to work together. And, but I mean, in theory, you could do that, right?
Yeah.
You just say, okay, we'll work these horses together. And they don't have to go in 133, you know, they could break off easy and just work together, work heads up and go into the race like that. That would be another way to do it.
If those two horses work together, I don't know if you could keep them under 133 or keep them over 133 because they're both extremely fast horses. They work quickly in the morning. I think it would be quite a show if they did that.
Yeah, one thing you wouldn't want is the jocks to work.
Just let them go.
Yeah. I say Dahiji and Dana, let them do it. Let the professionals work the horses. But you could do that. I don't know. I mean, when you have a horse that can work a mile in 138 or 137, I don't know why you necessarily need to run him. But that's just me. And I'm in favor. You know me. I like to run horses. I mean, I don't see any reason to keep him in the barn. But this is a whole different situation. It's never been done. We're not used to this. This is a whole new type of thing, a $12 million race in January and – you know, arguably the two best horses in the world, at least in North America, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, these two horses are awesome. I mean, you know.
The Pegasus World Cup is going to be absolutely sensational, and we'll see. I mean, if everybody goes, they get the full field like they're expecting, it's going to be just an amazing day of racing. And, of course, we can't wait to bring you that coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. One other sidebar note here, Jude, before we get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment coming up in just a couple of minutes. Want to say congratulations to 57-year-old jockey Kerwin Boo Boo Clark, who picked up win number 3,000 this past week at Delta Downs. Congratulations to Kerwin, one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet, and a guy that oftentimes doesn't get the credit he deserves. But, boy, when he gets a chance to play on the big stage, he's really, really good.
Yeah, he's a very talented rider, and you don't win 3,000 races because you don't know what you're doing. I mean, the guy's really a phenomenon, and especially at his age, he's still riding at a very high level.
Yeah. You know, I had the chance to moderate a panel, as you know, at the Jockeys Guild Assembly in Las Vegas this past week. And that's why you had the chance to visit with Pete Ertin on Trainer Talk. You hosted that show on Wednesday when I was gone, and heard some great things about that visit that you had with Pete Ertin. People can check out the podcast on our website, horseracingradio.net. But you wouldn't believe all of the things that are going on behind the scenes with the Riding Colony. When they have a chance to assemble for a meeting like this, their national meeting, they do this once a year, there are so many items that are discussed, in particular concussion protocols and how they are working to alleviate concussions in riders. And then once they alleviate them, how do they go about establishing a protocol like we see in other sports where, okay, if a rider goes down and they're injured in a race, even if they don't come back and immediately display those symptoms, how do they make sure that that rider is okay to go back out there and ride again? And that's just one of many topics that were discussed. But I found that discussion fascinating.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because racing's kind of been at the forefront of that for a long, long time, long before other sports have, taken the reins, so to speak. But, you know, every time a jock falls off a horse, they have to be cleared by the track physician. And the track physicians take it seriously. It's a little bit different than it would be like in the NFL, for instance, where you know, they want these guys to come back in and play. The track physicians have a little edge in that, you know, they're only taking care of the rider. They're not necessarily interested whether, you know, he's going to ride somebody's horse or he needs to get back because this is an important derby prep. The track physicians, they don't really care about that. They want to make sure that this rider is okay for himself, for the safety of other riders. And it's been like that in racing for decades.
Yeah, true. Very true. And a track physician, I think, from what I'm hearing, very, very good at assessing physical injuries. But when it comes to injuries of the head and the brain, you really need a specialist. You need somebody that is trained in concussion protocol, diagnosis, recognition, whatever it might be. And those are the steps that the jockeys are looking to move in now, to have somebody on site that can be there to assess any kind of head damage that might take place, even if there is no impact with the rider's head to another horse, to the surface, whatever it might be. You can still have a head injury. And they had some doctors come in from University of Kentucky that were specialists in dealing with head trauma. And there was a lot of conversation there that I thought was very beneficial. And I think that's the direction you're going to see racing go from now on.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure that a lot of track physicians can be trained in recognizing those symptoms and that type of thing.
Right.
So
it would be a retraining.
It'd be continuing education.
Yep.
And I'm a big fan of continuing education. I know maybe some of the trainers in New York are not currently, but I think it's a great idea that people continue to learn about their jobs and what's going on in their particular fields. And I think racing's been at the forefront of this for a long time. And I think anything that can be done to guarantee people's health and safety in our sport is important.
Well, as we told you, jockey Garrett Gomez, who retired a couple of years back, found dead in a hotel casino, a casino hotel, I should say, in Tucson, Arizona this past week at the age of 44. Very sad story. When we come back after our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, we're going to be joined by his longtime agent, Ron Anderson, who will look back on the life and the career of Garrett Gomez. Don't miss it. It all comes your way right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
To be labeled a titan of the turf is neither to be taken lightly nor a term to be recklessly bandied about. By anybody's measure or means, the subject of this piece has to be unqualifiedly classified as indeed a true titan of the turf. His lifetime spanned the administrations of American presidents Ulysses S. Grant through Lyndon Baines Johnson. And when he passed away in 1966 as a nonagenarian at the age of 92, a bright, sparkling light in the world of thoroughbred racing suddenly went dark. He was born in a small cottage in Brooklyn, New York, on July 23, 1874, on land, which later became part of the old Sheepshead Bay racetrack. At the age of 11, on the very day Grover Cleveland was inaugurated as president, he joined the racetrack colony as an errand boy for the Dwyer Brothers stable while sleeping in the loft. He became a jockey at the age of 16 and rode until 1901, when he switched to training. His last mount was a horse called Agnes D, who finished dead last in a field of five in the title stakes at Sheepshead Bay. The scales of justice were to be balanced, as it were, since Agnes D. was the very first winner he saddled as a trainer a few races later, and with that win came the inception of an absolutely phenomenal career. Between 1907, when Tabulated Records began, and the end of his five-star career, he saddled 2,275 winners, including virtually every major stakes race east of the Mississippi. His inaugural stakes winner was Stargaze in the Merchants and Citizens Handicap in the Saratoga Cup. This guy only had a sixth-grade formal education, and he rode very poorly, but he trained thoroughbreds with unmatched success for the likes of Colonel E. V. D. Morrell, James F. Quincy Johnson, Ambassador Breckinridge Long, Senator Johnson Camden, William Woodward Sr. and Jr., Ogden Mills Phipps, Ogden Phipps, Edith Woodward Bancroft, Mrs. Whitney Sloan, dancer Vernon Castle, and a warden at the Sing Sing Prison, among many, many others. His horses, including Bold Ruler, Nashua, and Gallant Fox, won 470 stakes races. He often said his best distance horse had been Diabolo, and Johnstown his best sprinter. To this day, he's the only trainer with two Triple Crown winners to his credit, Gallant Fox and Omaha. Among other standouts he trained were Apache, Bossuet, Fighting Fox, Vagrancy, Bushanda, High Voltage, Misty Morn, Mary Lassie, and Happy Gal. The subject of this profile had another quite remarkable talent as well. He developed his own veterinary supplies for ailing horses, and he personally used them as well as prescribing them for others. Eddie Arcaro at one time had severe bursitis problems and very nearly quit riding as a result. But the man herein being profiled put Arcaro on a leg paint he had developed for horses. Now, Eddie may have had a horsey smell about him going postward, but it helped him put on many of those inimitable pumping, driving finishes going to the wire. Yes, indeed, he did have a way with riders. In the early 1900s, he took a young Hebrew rider under his tutelage whose name was Walter Miller. Miller had not ridden a single winner in 1907, his apprentice year, but in 1908 he won 388 races while under the tutorial guidance of our man. That 388 win record stood for 40 years. Hedley Woodhouse was the last to ride in the colors of our subject, red and orange. Woodhouse once apologized for giving one of his horses less than satisfactory a ride in a major stakes race, and our man replied, quote, "You couldn't have ridden him any worse than I would have." The man who went his way to meet the Grim Reaper in that great paddock in the sky at the nonagenarian age of 92 in 1966 won the Kentucky Derby 3 times, the Preakness 4 times, the Belmont 6 times, the Jockey Club Gold Cup 7 times, the Lawrence Realization, Wood Memorial, and Alabama Stakes 8 times, the Dwyer 9 times, and the Saratoga Cup a remarkable 10 times. He was the man who once said, quote, "When you're away from New York, you're camping out." The saga of this venerable monument to thoroughbred racing, worthy of a Homerian epic, and the stuff of which legends are crafted, was a legend in his own time. He was Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, the man from Brooklyn.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coes can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coes in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning two-year-old, Anchor Down is a half-brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Breeders' Cup victories for jockey Garrett Gomez, who, as we told you, was found dead at the age of 44 this past week. And Garrett, a winner of 3,769 races in a career that was cut short far too soon. And we welcome you back to the Equine Forum here on HRN. Great job by Lee Delapina, our producer, putting that piece together for you. A look back at all 13 Breeders' Cup victories by jockey Garrett Gomez. And JT, we're going to be joined here momentarily by Ron Anderson, his longtime agent. And you think back on Garrett and his life and his career, but boy, when he was clicking, he was as good as anybody out there.
Yeah, well, you know, there's been a lot of water under the bridge since Garrett last rode. And you kind of sometimes in our business, it's a business of what have you done for me lately, but you listen to that and it's just amazing and brought back so many memories to me. And you don't even think about Garrett Gomez winning 13 Breeders' Cup races. I mean, that's a tremendous amount. And just very sad that he wasn't able to sustain his career and that he passed away this week.
Well, Ronnie, I know that for you it's been an extremely difficult time, and rightfully so. For so many people in the sport of thoroughbred racing, they've had a difficult time dealing with this sudden loss. And as Jude just said, very, very sad. I don't know if there's any way to put it other than that. Just a very, very sad occurrence.
Yeah, guys, you know, we all have our ups and our downs in this business, and there's, you know, days you guys know when you have a good day and you cash a bet or you hit a pick three or whatever, and that's a good day, and you have to deal with the bad days too. But this has been a rough few days for me. Just, you know, when you start reflecting and you realize first what a good guy he was and how he appreciated all the horses and all the people that he dealt with. And at the end of the day, you know, I could tell everybody, I was involved with Chris Antley too, as we all know, had the same, I guess, demons or whatever you call it, and his life ended early too. But I believe they really liked and loved everybody, and at the end of the day, they just kind of didn't care for themselves for some odd reason. And, you know, even going back with Eddie Gregson, who was a great friend of mine who died tragically too, I kind of think at the end of the day, they never dealt with a lot of problems that they had early maybe in life, and it's just very tragic. I mean, you look back and I reflect those replays that you just brought up, bring back so many memories. I mean, I worked for 5 years. 10 of those 13 Breeders' Cups were with me. It was the most amazing run maybe ever. He did $100 million, I think, in 5 years. He won 294 stakes, 59 stakes a year for 5 years. And at the end of the day, he was just such a good guy and a talent like I honestly believe he will be one of the greatest ever. He was that good. Just a sad story, though. You know, to reach out to people there, you know, I was involved with Jerry Bailey, obviously, before Garrett. And the one thing I'd like to maybe, you know, positive to come out of all this, if anybody's friends are having problems with this type of dependency and substance abuse or alcoholism, the only thing I could tell people is if it's you or somebody else's, the meetings seem to be the key to everything. And Garrett went to meetings regularly, and Jerry Bailey still goes to this day, not every week. He goes periodically. He sponsors people. And I think it's something that if you keep on top of it, you can curb it and you can, you know, survive and thrive. I remember years ago, kind of a story that sits in my mind with Steve Ortmeier. Steve Ortmeier was with the Raiders, I mean, many, many years ago. And you guys in Lexington know Steve because he ended up coaching at the UK here. And now he's retired. I think he does radio work there and stuff. But I called him one day when P-Val was having problems because Jerry Engorda was friendly with me. And I said, Steve, you know, what could it? He said, we have the same problem on this team. People don't know it. But these kids that have the problem, we test them every day. And they go to meetings. And we, you know, we take care of them. And I just hope maybe something positive can come out of this because 44 years old is just... It's just mind-boggling that somebody could pass at that age and have so much, you know, to look forward to. His daughter Amanda is a huge, huge show girl at this point. She's doing really well in the shows. And, you know, I reached out to him at one point and said, look, if you'd like to be a jocks agent, you know, I could show you what to do here. And I think there was a small chance, and I know this through a friend, that at some point he was going to maybe try and make a comeback. It's just so tragic. It's a sad, sad story. Very sad.
Yeah, well, he was, you know, a great writer, obviously, but I think a lot of people are learning now what a tremendous guy he was. I mean, what a cool guy, and how he touched so many people. You know, he didn't care if you were a hot walker or a Hall of Fame trainer. You got attention from him. He talked to everybody. He was, you know, very gracious with his time. He was always great with us at HRRN. You know, no matter any hour of the day or night, if you wanted him to come on early in the morning and he was in California, he didn't care. He'd get up and do it. You know, he was just a really gracious human being, and you know, dashingly handsome, and just an amazing guy. And it's really tough to deal with. We had Anthony Margotta on our Trainer Talk show, and we've also had him on a couple times in the afternoon. And he's a guy that had a lot of demons, and was really. He lost everything at one point, and now he's very proactive on the backside. He trains out of Monmouth Park most of the time, but he's somebody that he has encouraged our listeners and other people to reach out to him. He's very easy to get a hold of. If anybody needs his phone number or is interested in you know, getting involved in meetings or whatever, he takes people under his wing all the time. And I was meeting with him this summer at Monmouth, and that day he was taking a groom to a meeting for the first time, and he was so excited about it, and he's very proactive with this. So there's another avenue that if somebody wants, you know, to reach out, and they don't want to, you know, do anything public or whatever, he's willing to help whoever comes his way. And there's a lot of people on the backside that are active in that and want to see people get the help that they need.
Well, I didn't realize that about Anthony, and I commend him for all that. That's the type of thing that, you know, when these people are this, they need help, and they need, you know, they need somebody to lean on, and they need somebody to listen to them. And like I, you know, I've referred Jerry to even my family members, one of my family members in particular, to just speak to, because they speak the language. They know what to say to them. They know how to, you know, nurture them and bring them along. And, you know, maybe some one of your listeners or somebody out there is listening, and this maybe clicks, and maybe they try and get help, because there's lots of people that have problems and all. It's just very sad, you know, the years that he rode. I mean, I had Gary Stevens for 10 years, Chris Antley for 5 years off and on, and Garrett for 5 years, actually. He had the most amazing run of maybe all of them. I mean, he led the nation 4 years. He was fourth the last year, and only was beaten, like, I think, 1.2 million by Ramon in money. And Ramon rode like 650 horses more. Just, you know what? I reflect after all this time, you know, when people pass away, you know, loved ones or family members and stuff, I tell people, stuff runs through your mind that you never, never thought of or never recalled until that moment. And I started thinking of just, you know, all the stories, and the blame story is a classic of breaking his shoulder 2 days before and being able to ride the horse and thinking all throughout the day of Breeders' Cup that he was going to maybe have to take off. And, you know, all the you know, Nancy and I were chuckling last night over his amazing, he had this amazing laugh to him, and it's this amazing giggle. And Nance tells stories about when we lived together, especially 1 year at Saratoga, with 6 days of racing. You know, I didn't bring him out all the time. He reduced and stuff, so he didn't come out every single morning. So she would be at home with him, and he used to love to watch cartoons. And he would put the TV on and watch these cartoons, and he would laugh. And Nance got the biggest kick out of his, just as infectious giggle and his infectious laugh. And, such a beautiful person. And, you know, at the end of the day, I've told more than one person, probably you've seen it in print here the last 4 days, like with Chris, and he just didn't love himself for some reason. And it's just so, so sad.
Talking with Ron Anderson, longtime agent for jockey Garrett Gomez here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Ronnie, I'm glad you brought up the story of him watching cartoons and laughing and that giggle that he had. I remember it quite vividly. And that was one of the things that I love so much about Garrett Gomez, was that childlike enthusiasm that he always brought to the table. And from the minute that I met him when we first started HRN and started asking jockeys to do interviews and things like that with us, he was front and center. He was always somebody that had the time for you, no matter how busy he was. He always made the time for us if he was going to be busy. And I respect the heck out of Garrett Gomez for that, and he's definitely going to be missed. You know, you mentioned being around guys like Jerry Bailey and some of the greats, and Chris Antley and Gary Stevens. Well, in 2007, Garrett broke Jerry's record for most stakes victories in a season. He won 76 races that year. What is it that made Garrett such a good rider, if you could put your finger on one thing?
Well, I can't really put my finger on one thing, but, you know, if you go on the internet and look up pictures of him, the one thing that Nance and I remembered last night was he had an intensity about him that was, you can see it in his look. He was a very intense competitor, as they all are. And at this point, I tell people, and you guys understand this, and Jude's been a trainer, he knows, the really elite riders like Garrett was, they have what I call a sixth sense. It's like a baseball player that can hit a baseball. There's a sixth sense for hitting the ball, and there's a sixth sense for riding, which they're in tune with everything about the horse, everything about the race. You know, like Garrett says, he started riding when he was very, very young, and they just have a feel and a knack for the horse and the race and how to break the race down. And, you know, Jerry used to tell stories about he thought riders had tendencies to do almost the same thing lots of times, and he studied riders to know that, you know, one guy moves here and one guy moves there and one guy puts the stick in his left hand and a horse has a tendency to come out. And Garrett was in tune with all that. I mean, he was, you guys watch races, you study, you understand. This guy was magical. He was magical. Horses ran for him. He could take horses that didn't want to run, that horses that would show speed and stop. And he could get them to settle, and as far as somebody that could finish, I mean, I'm working for Joel Rosario, who is one of the, I've had more people tell me he reminds them of Lafitte, who Jude understands. In our day, Lafitte was like here, and everybody else was down there, especially finishing on a horse. Joel's basically in the same. Garrett was a freaky, freaky finisher on a horse. He could really finish. So all these things rolled into one, made him win 13 Breeders' Cups and win, you know, lead the country when he did. And he just, and then at the end of the day, you know, lots of people with lots of athletes, at the end of the day, they're pointing at themselves in the mirror. You know, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's me. He had none of that. So also like that too. It's more about everybody. It's not about them. It's about the horses and the grooms and the gallop people and the appreciation of all the hard work. They sit on a horse for, you know, 10 minutes and get paid. And some of these grooms and stuff work for months and months and months at nurturing a horse and fixing their problems and a trainer fixing their problem. He knew at the end of the day it wasn't all about him, and he was very gracious. And, you know, you're not the first person that told me this week that he was the best interview or the most gracious and time accommodating person ever. He would stop everything to go ahead and do an interview with you guys, or, you know, Claire was one of his favorite reporters, and he would stop in the middle of his meal to give Claire an interview. He was just different, you know. It's very different, very sad. sad, and he was very different.
Yeah, very sad. Garrett Gomez, of course, going to be missed not only in the saddle, but maybe even more so as a person in the sport of thoroughbred racing. Ron Anderson is longtime agent with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ronnie, I know how difficult this is for you. Really appreciate you coming on, taking a few minutes to look back on the person and on the career of Garrett Gomez. And anything we can do to help, please let us know. And our thoughts and our prayers with you, your family, and certainly with Garrett's family as well.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much, Mike.
All right, Ron Anderson here on HRRN. Sad story on so many levels. And, yeah, again, anything we can do to help, we're here.
Yeah.
Please let us know.
And if there is anybody out there, you know, get a hold of us, and we'll put you in the right direction.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we're going to get back and go to a commercial break. We'll come back with the second half of the program. It's going to kick off with Brett Jones from Airdrie Stud. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and 6 times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
This Saturday, Gulfstream Park plays host to 3 greatest stakes, the Rampart, Harlan's Holiday, and Sugar Swirl. Be sure to bring the entire family out early and enjoy breakfast at Gulfstream with special appearances by Santa and Mrs. Claus from 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday afternoon, take in a special holiday soiree at 10 Palms with holiday-themed cocktails, appetizers, sandwiches, and desserts. Tickets only $30. And be sure to take your shot at a life-changing score by playing the popular Rainbow Six. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for details.
The world's number one sire of two-year-olds, Warfront, continues to command top prices with yearlings this year, bringing up to $1.9 million. On the track, Warfront has sired recent Grade 1 winner Avenge, Grade 1 victors Brave Anna, and graded stakes winning juveniles in France, England, and Ireland, Roly Poly, War Decree, and Intelligence Cross. A leading sire on all fronts, from Paris, Kentucky to Paris, France, Claiborne Farms, Warfront.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna here. If you're in Kentucky and you love wine, you need to experience Lover's Leap Vineyards and Winery in Lawrenceburg. Just a short drive from Lexington, Lover's Leap is one of the oldest and largest vineyards in Kentucky. Stop in for an educational wine tasting or do what I love most. Simply kick back and relax on their wraparound porch while enjoying the view with a glass of their exceptional wine. And I can tell you, their wines are the perfect fit for all of your farm and company parties. So stop by for a visit today. It's Lover's Leap Winery in Lawrenceburg.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
These two-year-olds turn for home. Half mile 46 and 2/5 seconds. They're coming down toward the final furlong. Running Mate has opened up a 3-length lead. Through the inside, Divine Caleb, Zanino both staying on. Carson Kent is fourth, past the 16th. A powerhouse performance by Running Mate. And Running Mate reports home by 6 in 1:10 and 2/5 seconds. Divine Caleb edged out Zanino for second, and Carson Kent finished fourth.
John Dooley with the call, Running Mate winning that allowance race at the fairgrounds on November 25th. We'll see Running Mate in action this afternoon in the Sugar Bowl at the fairgrounds. He is one of two horses owned by Brereton and Brett Jones of Airdrie Stud. They are, well, they kind of have that race surrounded with those two contenders, Running Mate and Keep Talking. And when we come back, we're going to kick off the second half of the program with Brett Jones from Airdrie. We'll talk to him about those horses and making their way down the road to the Kentucky Derby. It's all ahead right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the Red Songbird, a soul-stirring duel. Forever unbridled, two-legs back bird. Songbird and Beholder, Beholder and Songbird. A cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
But California Chrome has gone into overdrive. He's two lengths in front. He's clear of Munda Hitch battling on. Then for sure wish, but it's California Chrome in front. It's Alchemy in Dubai. Chrome turns to gold.
Great Bong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on HRRN, Barron and Pontiff. That's Penna and Feld with you in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. Our producer, Lee Delapina, and Sean C. Chauncey with all of our social media. And by the way, speaking of social media, now just one follower away from a milestone on the Horse Racing Radio Network Twitter feed. We are at 9,999 followers. So the next follower will be 10K. I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to go ahead and send you a Gulfstream Park 2017 calendar if you follow us. And if we don't have a calendar left, we'll send you an HRN ball cap. Maybe we'll send you both. What the heck?
Yeah,
we'll
do that both.
For 10K. All right, so our next follower at HRN on Twitter helps us get to 10K, and we're going to go ahead and send you out that prize pack here on HRRN. Fun first half of the program, JT. Emotional look back at the career of Garrett Gomez with his agent Ron Anderson. And if you missed any portion, you can head to our website horseracingradio.net to check out the podcast of this program and all of our shows.
Yeah, that was tough for Ronnie to do, and some point tough to listen to, but it was informative and very sad week for racing.
Yeah, very sad week indeed. We now turn our attention to the racing side of things at the fairgrounds today, where they will play host to the Sugar Bowl, which is a race that is for the two-year-olds. And of course, looking ahead to the first Saturday in May, edging ever closer. Now just 140 days, 8 hours, 30 minutes, and 20 seconds away from that Run for the Roses, and that is where Brett and Brereton Jones hope to find themselves on that first Saturday in May, and they are with us now here on HRRN. At least Brett is. Brett, welcome to the program, my friend.
Hey, Mike. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Jude.
Yeah, happy to have you on board, and looking forward to the couple of talented colts you're sending to the post later today at the fairgrounds. That's Running Mate, who is a son of your top freshman sire, Creative Cause, and then you have Keep Talking, a son of Ghost Zapper, who was really, really good last time out. Tell me about the two.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I just have to make a reference to what we just heard and listening to Ron eulogize Garrett Gomez. I mean, that was really incredible and just a very tough thing to follow, but what a legend Garrett was and what a legend he'll always be. But now we to focus on the racing a little bit, we've got a big Saturday ahead of us, hopefully. We've got Running Mate, who is a big deal for especially for the Brett Jones family, because normally it's Brereton Jones having all the fun breeding all these nice horses, and We'll have all the kids around the TV today watching him run, and hopefully we can have some fun there. And then Dad's colt, Keep Talking, is going to be a very, very serious test. He is a horse that Tom Proctor actually came out to the training center where we get our two-year-olds ready, out with Wayne Mackey, and Tom walked out of there and he said, "I just have one request, just let me train the Ghost Zapper." And that's Keep Talking, and that shows you kind of what he's always thought of him. So it's going to be a very contentious race. There's a Michael Stidham colt in there that sounds like all the DRF guys at Fairgrounds are raving about, and we sure like running mate, and real interested to see how the 4th at Fairgrounds goes today.
Yeah, I would imagine so. running mate, he's run like a freak. I mean, those are two impressive races on his chart, with very, very fast Brisnet speed figures. Both 97. Par for this level is 83. So he's like in rarefied air.
Yeah, and that's what's really been so impressive to us, is he has run very fast without looking like he's running very fast. You know, he's been I don't think he's felt the whip yet. He's been eased down both races, but he's still running. I know on the Ragusons, his first race, he got a 9, then came down to an 8 in the next race. And as you said, the Brisnet numbers have been fantastic, and I've heard actually some of the other figures. So he's doing it without being asked. Now, of course, the question is what happens when we do ask him. But the obvious hope is that he runs even faster.
Well, he's bred to go much longer too, which has to be super exciting for you.
Yeah, it really is. I said to somebody the other day that was the first question I asked Larry Jones when he crossed the wire after the last race, and Larry said he wants to run around 3 times. So as far as Larry knows, there are no distance limitations, and that gets you a little excited with these two-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, your dad's horse is the same way. I mean, he's another horse that's bred to go long. It's a little bit curious to me, A, why you're running them against one another, and B, why you haven't stretched them out.
Well, there's really not the opportunity quite yet down there. This is the first stake with that program. It is at the 3/4, and you know, I think that the time will come when they do, but it's really not the opportunity. And actually, we're bringing running back pretty quickly. You know, he just ran 3 weeks ago, and that was a question I asked Larry also. I said, well, you know, he's run pretty fast, and you know, should we wait and stretch him out 2 turns? And Larry said, well, he didn't run last time, so let's get him back in the starting gate and run him again, and then we'll be ready for the LeCompte. And as far as running them against each other, it's, you know, both are the first foals out of their mares, and you've got a 6-horse field, which looks like an opportunity. We think both of them have the talent to pick up Black Type today. And if both of them can finish in the top 3, that's a big deal to get Black Type under a couple of mares that we're both very high on. So, that's why we're running against each other. And I just hope Robbie Alvarado and Gabe Saez don't get, too competitive out there on the lead and put us in a tough spot. But I got a feeling they won't, and I got a feeling both will come running today.
Talking with Brett Jones of Airdrie Stud here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. 2 horses going to the post in this afternoon's Sugar Bowl at the Fairgrounds. That's a race for the 2-year-olds. That Derby looming on the horizon the first Saturday in May will be here before we know it. Brett, you've had an awful lot of success with trainer Larry Jones in the Kentucky Oaks. He's won 3 Kentucky Oaks for you guys, and it's been a magical run. Yet to win the Kentucky Derby, but you've had some horses that were players early in the season, just didn't quite get it done. Is there an extra emphasis now on winning on the first Saturday in May as opposed to the first Friday?
Well, we'll take either one, to be very clear. But with the Derby, Dad has just never been one to get Derby fever. Now, that doesn't mean that we wouldn't love to win it more than just about anything in the world. I mean, if we were to have the opportunity to have one that we really felt could go in there and have a big shot to run it, no one would be more excited than we would be. As you said, we've had some that have been on the trail. Mark Valesky was a colt that we actually thought could be competitive talent-wise in the Derby. He had the points. It's kind of sacrilege, I guess, when you have the points to not go ahead and get in the starting gate. But he's one that we just weren't sure the mile and a quarter would suit him as well. So dad, being dad and always, you know, trying to do what's right and put the horses in the best position, bypassed the Derby, won the Peter Pan, I think, the very next week, one turn mile and an eighth at Belmont. So we've been down that road and dad had an opportunity to really catch the bug and I think he made the right decision. So, if we're lucky enough to be in that position again, we won't run them unless we really think that we're in there with a big shot.
How special is it to go down this road with a horse like Running Mate, who is a son of your freshman sire, Creative Cause, who has gotten off to a remarkable start, by the way. Congratulations on his success. How special is it to have a horse that's by your stallion going down this road?
Thank you, Mike. It's a huge deal. I mean, that's when we put Creative Cause in the stallion barn, we told everybody, listen, we're going to breed the best mares that we've got on the farm to him. We're going to give him every chance because we believe that he's that kind of prospect and he's deserving of that kind of chance. And now, you know, I think you're going to see, he's already had a very good freshman year. He's been kind of a top five freshman sire all year. Had some bad luck, filly that won the stakeout in California, got very sick afterwards. But you're seeing now is the distances are increasing. I think you're going to see these things getting better and better and stronger and stronger. And so it's a huge deal. I mean, if this horse didn't belong to us, if it was just someone else's Creative Cause, it would still be a massive deal to see one with this level of talent, at least what we perceive as this level of talent, taking the steps to run in some nice three-year-old races. So Creative Cause, if we could really have a big 2017 with him, it would be hugely fulfilling because we made a very large investment in the horse financially as well as just the opportunity of where else we could have bred those mares. But so far it's paying off, and hopefully that's going to be the case down the road.
Do you hear from my old client Heinz Steinman very much talking about Creative Cause?
I do. Mr. Steinman, I've only spoken to a couple times after left him a nice voicemail after one of our wins, but his son and his sons, Heinz and Eric, have really gotten involved now in the industry as a direct result of the success they had with Creative Cause. Because for the Steinmans, who, Jude, as you know, are just really could not be nicer people, that was a real family affair, having Creative Cause on the Derby trail, having all the great memories that they had, and so much so that once he went to stud, Heinz and Eric got more involved. They were from other businesses, but said, boy, this horse racing thing's kind of a good time. And so they went out, they bought some mares, and they bred a winner that won a couple weeks ago, the Peter Urton Trains out in California. So they're having fun. Of course, Mr. Steinman won the stake out in California with his filly, the one we waited for. So it's he's kept paying back the Steinmans, and hopefully he's going to keep paying the Joneses as well.
Brett, the backstory behind Running Mate is one that caught my eye. When you think about going to the sales with him as, a yearling and having to bring him back home, tell me a little bit about that story and where you are today with this horse.
Well, that's a story that plays out, you know, quite often. It's, you know, sometimes you go up there and you really think you've got a heck of a nice prospect and the market just doesn't agree with you to the level that you think they should. And that was Running Mate. He was just, you know, in my opinion, a beautiful weanling, so well put together, good family underneath him. And for whatever reason, you know, when we had some really kind of sexy weanlings in that draft that did sell well that were by Creative Cause. So maybe he got just a little bit overlooked. Maybe they didn't think he was quite as up to the task as some of the others. But he was a horse that we at the farm always really thought highly of, and a horse that we always thought at the end of the day, if he didn't make a big sales horse, would be a big race horse. And so we gave him to Larry Jones, and the same way that, you know, we gave some other horses that didn't meet their reserves at the sales, that Larry has gone on to do remarkably well with. And hopefully this is just the latest.
You know, Brett, I don't know if I've ever asked you this question before, but we see a lot of father-son teams in thoroughbred racing. And when you think about the success you're having alongside your dad at so many different levels, not just the racing side of things, but the breeding side of things, what's it like to go down this road, be part of this success alongside your father?
Well, it's the greatest. And last time, I think you did ask me this one time, Mike, and you got me about halfway emotional. So I'm hoping I'm going to pull through this one like a tough guy. But It's the best. I mean, he's my best friend. He always has been. And working with your best friend and your father and being able, you know, we have had some successes and a lot of fun Saturdays, a lot of fun Fridays, and it just makes it all the more fun. You know, watching a race by yourself is nice and a blast, but when you're celebrating it with the people that you love and going down that road, it just makes it really, really special. So special is the word I keep coming back to, but I think it's appropriate.
Well, he makes me cry all the time, so don't feel bad, Brett.
Yeah.
You know, that's the great thing about your operation. You know, the first thing you think about is your father, and then you, and the honesty and the first class, you know, way you guys conduct yourselves, and you're not afraid to back your own product if you don't think you're getting the fair price, and that's one of the things that gives you confidence when you go to the Airdrie consignments at sales and you go to a breed of mare at Airdrie, you know, it's first class all the way.
Well, I really appreciate that, Jude. Thank you very much, buddy.
Brett Jones with us here on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Brett, we know you're enjoying some time with the family, a little R&R. Not going to be at the fairgrounds today, but that's okay. We want to wish you all the best moving forward, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, my friend. Thank you for all your support of what we do here on the network. Can't do it without you, buddy.
You guys are the absolute best. Happy holidays, and can't thank you enough, guys.
All right, good luck today.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Brett Jones here on HRRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is indeed the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. And Jude, as we always say, wear what you love at Embrace the Race.
Yes, we always do.
Mike Dienzeris was on this program a couple of weeks back talking about some of the ways that folks can get involved with gifts for the horse racing fan on their list, and we couldn't encourage you more to go to EmbraceTheRace.com and check that out.
Yeah, and even though it's getting late, if you want to order something, just make sure that you let them know that you want to send it out immediately, if not sooner, and you should get it to your loved one by Christmas.
How good are Brett's two horses that we're going to see in the Sugar Bowl? I mean, obviously, he thinks that they're ultra-talented. You mentioned on a couple of occasions during that interview how good they look on paper. But keep talking, running mate. How good are they? Where do you rank them in terms of the two-year-old picture right now, looking ahead to the Derby?
Well, isn't that interesting? I printed out my list this morning.
Well, I didn't even know that.
Call it our list. Actually, I have 73 horses on the list that we will be using later on when we draft for the Churchill Downs Fantasy League. But I started this about a little over a month ago. I have Keep Talking at 31. He just broke his maiden, but you know, if it was the NFL, anybody in the top 32 is good. And then let's see, where do I have Running Mate? I have him at 24.
Okay.
So, you know, he's not quite in the starting gate yet. Right? But you know, I both these horses are nice horses, and they figure to stretch out, you know, pedigree wise, and we'll see what Running Mate does today. I mean, he's just brilliantly fast.
Who's number one on your list?
Classic Empire.
Yeah.
Classic Empire, Mastery, McCracken, Motown, Oscar Performance, Practical Joke, Good Samaritan, No Dozing, Three Rules, and Beach Bum are the top 10.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think we've seen the Derby winner yet?
Well, if we don't see him in the next week,
Apollo's going to rear his ugly head.
Apollo's going to, yes. I think we quite possibly. I mean, this is a pretty nice bunch of horses so far. You know, what we've seen so far is pretty good.
Looks like a solid crop.
Very, very good. So if we, you know, if somebody pops up this week, you know, they have till the 31st to make their debut, but I think there's a lot of nice horses on this list. So to give you I have Saints Fan at 25. I've kind of been a little bit higher on Saints Fan than a lot of people, but he came back and won for Dallas Stewart, which is a good story too. Dallas bred and owns Saints Fan, and
go figure.
who dat? And you know, Saints fan, he's pretty nice little horse. And so I've got him ranked between the Jones boys horses. And but there's a lot of good ones out there. A horse named Cavil that Kieran McLaughlin trains is an interesting horse. He won on the turf the other day, but he's actually bred to run on the dirt a little bit. And I think he's an interesting play. There's a lot of good things happening right now.
Yeah, and a lot of things yet to be determined, edging ever closer to that first Saturday in May. You want it again? 140 days, 8 hours, 13 minutes, and now just 32 seconds away. Do I have Derby fever or do I have Derby fever?
Sounds like you do. Take two aspirin and call me in the morning.
All right, Ron Nicoletti coming up from Gulfstream Park to look at their big race day this afternoon. They have three grade three races on the docket and a couple of other stakes races too. We'll talk to Ronnie right after this next commercial break. But first, it is time for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. I thought this was cool. Kentucky Downs names a race after Tourist. Kentucky Downs has renamed a major stakes event on its racing calendar to honor 2016 Breeders' Cup Mile winner Tourist. The formerly named More Than Ready Mile Stakes will now be run as the Tourist Mile starting in 2017, and the one-mile event on turf will continue to carry a lucrative purse of $400,000. Of course, Tourist owned by our good friends Elliot Walden and the folks at Windstar Farm, so congratulations to them on that honor. For more industry news and headlines, all you have to do is head on over to bloodhorse.com. And don't forget, if you are not already reading Bloodhorse, well, you're really missing out. It is the Thoroughbred Industries' premier weekly publication, celebrating 100 years of covering racing, breeding, news, and more. If you're not reading Bloodhorse, do not miss another issue. Sign up today, bloodhorse.com/subscribe. We're back with Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic producing sire and the sire of a Breeders' Cup sprint winner with his first crop.
Trey Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Trey Fong's the leader. Trey Fong has won.
In addition to Grade 1 Breeders' Cup sprint and King's Bishop winner Trey Fong, Gio Ponti is also represented by Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Leparoux. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front. And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings have been well received in 2016. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Temple City, a dynamite start at stud.
Startup Nation, who rolls past the eighth ball, clear by four.
Already three Grade 1 horses from his first crop.
Bolo absolutely annihilated them.
Miss Temple City to take down the field and beat the boys in the Makers 46 mile.
Top five among all Kentucky sires with a 3.41 Apex A-Runner Index. Temple City, Dynaformer's best son at stud. Standing at Spindthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Racing fans, don't miss it. Opening day at Santa Anita on Monday, December 26th. Come early on opening day. His first post time is at 12 noon. Come see the great race place at its finest, as we'll have four graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Malibu and the Grade 1 La Brea, and our popular 2017 wall calendar is free with paid admission. $1 million is guaranteed in the late pick four. Admission gates open at 10. First post time is 12 noon. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Loaded continues to make up some ground, but with a 16th to go, Squadron's now opening up. Squadron is up by about three, and it's all Squadron in the juvenile turf.
Two-year-old Squadron, the son of Darley Stallion Midshipman, ran his record to a perfect 2-for-2 with that win in the Juvenile Turf Stakes at Gulfstream Park West last month. And that victory makes Squadron your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Midshipman, an Eclipse Champion two-year-old and the fastest winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, while defeating the future Kentucky Derby 1-2 finishers. Squadron is one of nine black type winners for Midshipman in 2016. No stallion standing for less than $35,000 can top that number this year. And no stallion standing for less than $75,000 can beat his lifetime percentage of black type winners from foals. Midshipman's fee? Only $8,500. To learn more about Midshipmen and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
American Pharoah has lost the lead at the top of the stretch. Frosted on the outside is now in front, but American Pharoah is battling on from the inside. Fight with 1 furlong to run, and here on the far outside comes Keen Ice with a late threat. American Pharoah put away Frosted. He has to deal with Keen Ice. Keen Ice has got him. Keen Ice has won the Travers over American Pharoah in a dramatic upset. Frosted was third and Upstart was fourth in a final time of 201.57 seconds. The Graveyard of Champions has claimed another.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, together once again in our Lexington studios. Larry Colmus had the call of last year's Travers Stakes. Keen Ice defeating Triple Crown winner American Pharoah at Saratoga. You know, you look at what Keen Ice has done since that effort. He's 0-for-7, has not won a race since that day, but he's the 9-to-5 morning line favorite in this afternoon's Harlan's Holiday at Gulfstream Park. Ron Nicoletti joins us from Gulfstream now. Ronnie, what the heck's going on down at Gulfstream? 9-to-5 favorite?
Yeah, I mean, I put him in second just because of that. You know, the rumor was around that Javier got to work both Keen Ice and Stanford and chose Keen Ice. But I love Stanford in that race. So 9-to-5 favorite is going to have to, I'm going to have to watch. You know, I'll use him on the ticket somewhere, but not on top.
Well, good to talk to you, my friend, and happy to have you back on board with us here on the Equine Forum. Winding down 2016, but it doesn't mean things are winding down at Gulfstream Park. You're just kind of ramping things up, aren't you?
Yeah, this is it. Last week we had some great two-year-old races. We had a little trouble with the weather, but this is a great day of racing. I mean, even the undercard is fantastic. So it's just one of those great betting days at Gulfstream Park. You know, the Rainbow Six is moving up again to 76,000. So lots of different ways to go today with your betting, and that's what always makes it fun. You know, in addition to seeing some really great horses, you know, either coming back or, you know, returning to one of their favorite places like Heart to Heart and the El Prado, and it's just a great day from top to bottom.
Yeah, a lot of good races today and turf racing. Weather, I assume, is lovely as usual.
It's beautiful today. It's got that little bit of you know, coolness, and for us, it's coolness. Like yesterday was supposed to be a cold front. It got up to 84 or something. Like the cold front didn't quite work out, but it's been beautiful down here. You know, there's always a chance of a sprinkle and stuff, but really has to rain hard for us to take it off the turf, as you know, and we're starting today fast and firm.
Well, that's Ron Nicoletti, by the way, from Gulfstream. And for everybody tuning in around the country that's dealing with temperatures that are below zero right now, all you have to do is follow him on Twitter, and you can tell him, go drink a cup of shut the you-know-what up, because a cold front, it's 80 degrees in South Florida. Nobody wants to hear about that, Ronnie.
I know. We feel so bad, but not that bad.
You feel nice and warm, but a little guilty, maybe.
Yeah, you know, we're walking around saying, boy, it's hot today, and then we you know, read these temperatures, -2 here, -5, so, you know, it's just one of those weird things. Usually when it's close, you know, cold up north, you know, especially on the East Coast, we get it down here, but the cold fronts, haven't reached this yet this year. But, you know, pretty soon it gets cold down. It'll probably be like in the high 60s in a couple of days.
Yeah, there were days last year when we stayed at Gulfstream that we actually had to put a light jacket on or a sweatshirt. I mean, it does happen. It's not going to be below zero like the rest of the country, but it certainly does happen. But one thing that people can always look forward to at Gulfstream Park is the great racing action. And you look at today's program, you mentioned the carryover into the Rainbow Six. You have several stakes races, including a trio of grade threes, and it begins in race number four with the grade three Sugar Swirl, a purse of 100,000, fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up, and a bit of a shorter field, but a very contentious field. How'd you see that one, Ronnie?
Well, you know, it's fantastic. Love this track and should have won this race last year. But if you remember going back, just got in so much trouble in that race. You know, followed that race, the second place finishes with victories in the Miami Shores. Then comes back, wins the grade two inside information. The Kelly Green is the trainer. Had that real nice win up at Belmont in the $100,000 pumpkin pie. Who's riding him? Paco Lopez. What about him yesterday, Paco Lopez? He does a somersault off a horse in the seventh race, comes back in the eighth and wins on a horse called Somersault. What are you going to get that with Rock? It was the greatest hunch bet ever told. It was the most amazing thing. So getting back to Stonetastic, I like this horse today in that spot. I got Acacia laughing over here, my roommate.
Yeah, are you taking good care of our Acacia Courtney down there? That's our baby girl.
Yeah, she's the boss down here. So she was your baby girl, but now she's my big boss. Whatever they tell me to do, the boat goes her and Gabby, I just do.
Are you afraid there might be a little pace duel with Dearest? You think Stonetastic?
Yeah, I mean, I see that happening and everything like that. I just think this horse outclasses that horse. You know, that can always happen. It might have set up for like a horse like you bought her, the six horse who does her best running from off the pace. And she's certainly going to get the speed that she needs to run well. And if that pace duel does, materialize, sets up for a horse like that for trainer Dave Hinley. He's got Johnny B in the saddle. Johnny B just been riding in great form this early part of the meeting. So, pace makes the race. You got to see how it turns out. But on class-wise, and it's one of my favorite horses, so that's why I'm going back to Stonetastic.
Well, the fifth race of the afternoon, Ronnie, is the Grade 3 Rampart. That's also a $100,000 race. Fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up, and a field of seven going to go a one-turn mile on that fast main track this afternoon. Who wins it?
I went with the six genre. This one turning back to a mile. Six previous races at the distance with three wins, a second and a third. Strong three-race campaign going longer. She won that Grade 3 Molly Pitcher at a mile in the 16th. Then she comes back. She went to the 10 furlong Lady Jacqueline at Thistle Down. Was third in the Grade 1 Spinster at Keeneland last time out. And I think the race goes through that horse in race number five. But the horse I keep going back to is Curlin's Approval. I think this horse is going to run well. Stretching out to a mile. Had a choice to go in either the sprint or the mile race. They decided the mile. You know, it's Marty Wilson, Embassy El Jaramillo. And I just think this one had those back-to-back sprint victories. I think this one carves out a really nice trip, and I would not leave that one off the ticket.
Yeah, she gets 9 pounds from genre as well, and I think that certainly going to help her a little bit.
Yeah, and one that you have to use. I would not be surprised if Curlin's Approval wins it. And I closed it out with Asking for Money, was beaten only in neck by genre, in the Molly Pitcher. So, you know, finished third in the Turnback Alarm. So those are my three in there. And that race to me is a little wide open. If I'm going to go deep, that's where I'm going to go deep in any of my early pick five wagering.
Ronnie, I know you touched on the Harlan's Holiday at the top of the interview here, but, you know, you come to this race, you see Keen Ice is the 9-5 morning line favorite. Stanford, who you said that you loved in here, 2-1 on the morning line. It really is difficult to bet Keen Ice with any kind of confidence, considering the fact that he just hasn't been able to get it done since that upset win over American Pharoah in the Travers.
And, you know, I think a lot of it has to do, you know, he ran third behind Arrogate in California Chrome in the Breeders' Cup Classic, but he was like, you know, 11 and a half lengths back. And, you know, you're going to get some Javier Castellano money for sure in there. And I think that's a horse that can be beat. I mean, Stanford is just trained exceptionally well. Preparation for the first start, he was really impressive, I thought, in the Charlestown Classic. He had trouble. He swerved a little bit in the Metropolitan. This is a million-dollar earner. And I think he, you know, I just like the way he's coming into the race. And Keen Ice, as you mentioned, you know, how can you bet him with any real confidence?
Talking with Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream Park here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ronnie, the eighth race of the afternoon, another stakes race, not a graded stake, but a pretty good one in the $100,000 El Prado Stakes. This is always an interesting race to me. It's 7.5 furlongs, but it's a two-turn, 7.5 furlong race on the turf course, and you get a field put together here like number one, Heart to Heart, who is the 6-5 morning line favorite. Tell me about the El Prado and your thoughts on this race.
Well, you know, Heart to Heart is one of my favorite horses, and if you look at my selections today that are online, this is my best bet of the afternoon. This one used its speed last year to win the Grade 2 Fort Lauderdale, a Grade 3 Canadian Turf, turning back to 7.5. But, you know, backed up to finish fourth last time out, but that was a softened turf, listed as good. That was in the Artie Schiller and Aqueduct. But this horse loves this track, and the best part of it, Julian Leperoux rides this horse perfectly, and it's one of his favorite horses. So I just see this horse, you know, here's a horse that I'm going to single in my Rainbow Six ticket and take a shot. I just see him as the best in the race, and loves this turf course, so I'm going with the old horse-for-course angle.
Yeah, he's a horse you never want to leave off your ticket. I mean, every time it looks like there's a lot of pace in the race or whatever, you think maybe he can get beat. He goes wire to wire anyway. He's a very solid horse. I thought maybe Go Round had a little bit of a chance, but Heart to Heart is just such a tough horse.
And, you know, I mentioned Julian Leperoux, and he just handles this horse perfectly. You know, he's on the front. If you go back and look at these last two races that he won here, you know, he's just there. And exactly what you guys said, you know, is that looks like he's going to get passed, but he always has a little bit more. And it just happens. It's, you know, when you know this in horse racing, it's just some horses just love certain courses and certain times of the year, and this is one of those horses, at least in my estimation. So, you know, I use Go Around on the ticket somewhere too, but, you know, this is my single of the day.
Well, we get to see another horse that likes that Gulfstream Park turf in the 10th race of the afternoon, the South Beach Stakes. This is the filly counterpart to the race that we just talked about, the El Prado. And you see Sandiva, who is 2-1 on the morning line, a horse that has won 3 of 5 starts on that Gulfstream grass. What do you make of Sandiva, and what do you make of the South Beach, Ronnie?
Well, I got Sandiva on the ticket, but I'm going to try and beat him with a defending chance. And one reason I like saying the horse's name, the other, I think he's got a bit shot. That's Tutta Paiti. This one is, you know, the defending champ, turning back to 7.5. He soft the pace. He faded. That was his 10-furlong E.P. Taylor at Woodbine in her last. Billy Maude, Johnny Velasquez. He's just going to try and beat Sandiva, who loves this course, as you mentioned, coming back, you know, came up empty in the Diana. You know, but that was a really good race. So, you know, I think it goes through those two. And I the one, Exili, you know, cutting back from Christophe Clement, and he somehow jumps up and wins these type of races. So I think that's another one where you got to go deep. I mean, Sandiva's probably the right one, but I'm going to try and beat it with Tutta Paese.
Yeah, that's a very wide open race. There's several ways to go in there. I thought even Amy's Mesa had a chance. She's a 3-year-old who always breaks slow, but she's got a pretty decent turf race, and if she gets some kind of trip, she could be in the frame as well. Pretty tough race.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough race, and I mean, you got to pick your spots there. And you know, Amy's Mesa, you know, you could go out in the lead. It didn't run bad. You know, last year was in the Swedish Chance, so it's, you know, it's a wide open affair. I think you got to pick your spots, especially if you're betting the, you know, the rolling wagers in here, like the late pick five or the early pick five in the Rainbow Six. Of course, you got to pick your spots and, you know, try and you know, make it where you can go deeper in races like the South Beach and certainly in the El Prado, you know. So not in the El Prado, in the Harlan's Holiday, I think you got to go 3 deep in there too.
You can see all of Ron Nicoletti's picks on the Gulfstream Park website. That's gulfstreampark.com. Ronnie, that Rainbow Six carryover today of more than $76,000, is there a cold Rainbow Six out there from Ron Nicoletti on the website?
I am the master of 5 out of 6, which means absolutely nothing. I can get 5 out of 6 with the best of them. The problem is we pay 6 out of 6. So, you know, I'm going to try. You'll be on there. I'll give out my ticket in race number 6. You can see it if you're following us either on the web or on TV or whatever. It'll see it out there. And then, you know, I try and use it as a gauge. And close yesterday, you know, the other day I had to – my singles have been doing okay lately, but I just screw up in one race, it seems. I got to figure this out.
Well, Ron Nicoletti, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Wear what you love at Embrace the Race. Ronnie, appreciate the time, my friend, and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll look forward to seeing you back at the end of January for the Pegasus World Cup.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for some cold weather to wear that nice jacket you gave me last year, but it hasn't happened yet.
The only guy in South Florida that asked me for a heavy winter HRN jacket.
I just wanted one.
You'll need one. You'll need one for the Pegasus, probably.
Let's hope not. Ronnie, appreciate it.
Happy holidays.
You too, my friend. Ron Nicoletti with us here on HRRN. Always fun to catch up with Ronnie.
Yeah, Ronnie's very good handicapper and a real sharp guy. I always love telling the story of sitting around the house one day, and up on my Twitter feed comes a little tweet from Ronnie. I really love my long shot, number 8 in the 6th race today. And if you know Ronnie at all, like we do, we've been friends a long time, and Ronnie's not one to, like, you know, go out on a limb or plug a horse just for the heck of it, you know. But he must have really liked this horse. So I'm sitting there and I go, wow, I should bet on this horse. If Ronnie likes him that much that he tweeted about him. So I did. I bet, I don't know, 10 and 20 or 20 and 40 or something on him. Just because of my confidence in Ronnie. Horse paid $30. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
Made a nice score. And I wasn't betting that day. I hadn't looked at a form, nothing. I just bet out of respect for Ronnie. And the fact that he would mention that he liked this horse that he'd already given out evidently on his morning show or whatever. And so I'm waiting for the next Ronnie Nicoletti tweet to come my way.
I'm waiting for the next Herb McCauley tip. Right? What did he give us? $99 horse or something and we didn't 90, play it?
96?
Something like that. Well, who's the at night, that point?
The night before.
Yeah, the night before.
Yeah, we number 5 in the 5th.
Yeah, we said, okay, Herb, yeah, we'll see you later.
He says, don't forget tomorrow, bet number 5 in the 5th. And we thought he was joking.
Right,
you know?
5 in the 5th.
5 in the 5th. It won. $96.
$90-something dollar horse. Yeah. We didn't have a nickel on it.
No, of course not.
No. Not at all. All right, we're back to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum. One more segment to go here on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coes can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down.
A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Kuz in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes-winning two-year-old, Anchor Down is a half-brother to Grade 1-winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full-brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Going to be in our Lexington studio for the next several weeks. Not used to that, JT. We're always on the road, but we don't have to make another broadcast trip until we head to Gulfstream at the end of January for the Pegasus World Cup.
Yes, it's nice to be home for a while.
You know what we should do? Last year, we spent every single Saturday at Gulfstream Park. We were down there for the full 9 weeks. We're still going to bring you our exclusive Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage on the network this year. But maybe what we should do is look at bringing back the farm tour that we did a couple of years ago. We traveled to all the farms and, you know, talk a little bit about the stallions, the horses that we've seen on the racetrack who have been so successful and outstanding stud. Might be kind of cool. We always enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's always fun to visit the farms. Another thing that I've had a lot of people ask me about, and I talked to Michael Blown about the other day, is to do a show from old friends.
That would be cool.
They would love to have us out there, and so that might be something too that we could put on the list.
Yeah, that would be very, very cool. We asked earlier for people to follow us at HRN on Twitter. We were getting so close to hitting that 10,000 follower milestone. Well, we got it, and we're going to send an HRM prize pack out to Just Pickin' Winners on Twitter.
And you have no idea how much Mike has coveted that 10K symbol.
I have been
on
waiting
HRN
for months, and
Twitter page.
We now have it thanks to Just Pickin' Winners.
And he really picked a winner there,
all the way from North Carolina, according to
wow.
the Twitter page.
So, wow!
Yeah. We certainly do appreciate it, and thanks to everybody who follows us on social media and listens to these programs and to our podcasts of all of our shows. And if you did miss Trainer Talk this past week, head back there and take a listen. Jude had a chance to sit down with his good friend Peter Ertin, and they spent a full hour visiting and looking back on some of the moments that Peter's never going to forget in his career, and I know you had a lot of fun with that show.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable because, you know, Pete's in-laws and some of my old clients, Elizabeth and Jerry Vallone, were very close, and you know, we used to hang out a lot in our younger days, and so it was really nice to sit down with Pete for an hour. He was a little nervous at first because he thought clients might be calling and stuff. He did get a couple of texts during the show, and he was traveling too, but it was a good show, a fun show. We had some laughs and some good conversation.
We have a young lady who has been sitting here patiently throughout the past 2 hours listening to this program, and that is Jetta Vaughns, who joined you yesterday on the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview Show, where you and Anthony Stabile took a look at some of the big races. And Jetta has a long history of being involved in this sport on a bunch of different levels. And Jetta, I couldn't let you just sit there without bringing you on the air. So
good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good morning. It'll sound better when your microphone's on. Let's see
is
if we can get
on?
It. Not yet.
Hello.
Maybe use the other one. Try that one.
Yeah, we'll give that one a shot. Modern technology, live radio. We love it.
Hello.
No? All right, well, nice to have you with us today,
Jetta.
We'll effort that microphone.
You can come over here and share with me if you want. you probably don't need the headset.
Roberto Rodriguez was just sending me a text from Gulfstream. That's El Potro.
Right.
Right?
The one and only.
The host of our HRN and Espanol broadcast. They're getting ready to host their weekly Saturday morning show, all in Spanish for you. They do this every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can listen to HRRN and Espanol.com. That's where you listen to the show. The show is called Hablando de Ibismo, which means talking racing in Spanish. And they will take you through a full hour of horse racing talk, all in Spanish. Roberto Rodriguez, Eloy Villama. It comes your way right after we go off the air at 10 Eastern. So simply head on over to HRRN and Espanol to check out that show and check out podcasts of all their programs on that website too.
Yeah, those guys, they do a great job, and it's a fantastic show.
I wanted to kill them last week.
Why?
Because they were in Puerto Rico for the Clásico del Caribe. They broadcast that race live on HRN in Espanol. They were sending back pictures, texting me pictures from the Ritz-Carlton, which is apparently the media hotel in Puerto Rico. I want
to
go.
Dude, I've been telling you for years to go to Puerto Rico. You never believed me. But anyway, congratulations to them. I'm glad they pulled it off. I wish I spoke Spanish. I would have been down there with them.
Yeah.
No way. I would avoid that trip. I love Old San Juan.
Yeah.
One of my favorite places on earth.
It was really cool. And we were happy to be able to bring that coverage your way, all in Spanish on HRRN and Espanol.com. Jetta.
Yes.
There you go.
Good morning.
Oh, that sounds better.
Lots better.
Yeah. We can actually hear you now.
Woo.
Jude has been telling me since Saratoga, he said, you got to meet this girl, Jetta. She is a huge horse racing fan. She has been involved with the business on a bunch of different levels at the sales and on the racetrack. And her father was really prominent out in California. What's your background, Jetta?
Well, I was born on the racetrack. Both my parents were working for Charlie Whittingham. I was almost born in the barn. If my mom had not told my father in time to get me to the hospital, I probably would have been born in the feed room on the backside of Del Mar.
Wow.
And from then on, I was just obsessed with the horses. I wanted to be with my dad. I wanted to be in the barn. I trailed around after everybody who would let me follow after them and snuck into the offices of Charlie Whittingham and Noble Threewit and Bruce Headley and would read their training charts. Got my first job for Mr. Lucas when I was 15. I lied and said I was 16.
Wow. Does Wayne know that?
Yes.
He does now.
He does now. I didn't tell him then, but he knows now.
What did you do for Wayne?
I was a hot walker. I was in school. I was a high school junior, and I told him I wanted to drop out and become a jockey, and he said, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to get here at 4:30, and you're going to work for me, and I'm going to teach you.
See, and that's the one thing about Wayne Lucas. When we sat down and had him on Trainer Talk at Saratoga this year, we did it in his barn at Saratoga, and, well, the office next to his barn, and that was the one thing about Wayne Lucas. He said, you're not going to beat me to the barn, right? He's always there at 4, 4:30.
Yeah. When I walked in at 4:30, he said, good morning, look who showed up. I said, I'm here, sir. And he said, well, why don't you go out there and take that horse from that guy right there? And I said, okay. So I walked out and I took the horse and I looked at the nameplate on the halter and it was Serena Song. And from then on, I just loved being around good horses.
Well, you know, one thing about Wayne too, being an old school teacher, you know, he wasn't going to let anybody drop out of school.
No.
And, and that's another feather in his cap. And, you know, you don't hear about Wayne Lucas, helping people on the backside and stuff. You know, sometimes people feel like he's not approachable or whatever, but he's helped a lot of people on the backstretch. He's educated a lot of people in our business. And, Jetta's just, another in a long line.
Well, he takes it very seriously, and he would kick me out of the barn 7:38 in the morning on a school day. He would not let me be late. He would just come out, hey, isn't it time to go? And I said, oh, well, Wayne, I've got 10 more minutes with this horse. He said, oh, somebody take this horse from her. She's got to go. And he'd kick me right out of there.
Well, you start with Serena's Song. It's hard to really go up after that, isn't it?
Well,
you start at the top.
During that time, we had some amazing horses. We had Thunder Gulch. We had Timber Country, Grindstone, Hennessy.
Who was your favorite?
Cara Raffaella was my favorite. I got her off the van when she was two. They brought her to the backside. She was a little skittish. She was so beautiful. She was so graceful. And from then on, she was my favorite. And she never really got the chance to prove herself. I mean, she was in the competition with Flanders and Serena Song, and she was a little underrated, but she was the 2006 Premier of the Year, and they can't claim that title. So.
Sticking up for her girl, Cara
Raffaella. That's my girl. I'm told she's pure white now. I'd love to go see her.
Well, where is she now?
I'm not sure. I have to find out.
Yeah.
I did get the chance to go visit with Serena Song at Denali a couple of years ago, and she remembered me. And she's a little – she still has the same feisty demeanor, loved her peppermints. And they told me a really funny story about her. They said they always bring her out last and – turn her out in the paddock with the other mares, and they'll be out eating or doing something, and she'll start trotting around them, and she'll get them round up, and then she'll sort of make them exercise a little bit before they get back to the feed tubs, and she does it every day.
I'm not sure, but I think Cara Raffaella was a stud TNT horse. Do you remember that at all?
I don't remember.
And if that was the case, she might be at Three Chimneys. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if she's still alive. I hate to say that with you in the room, but
I haven't heard anything to the contrary.
Yeah,
I think
but that might be a place to look. Absolutely. Would be Three Chimneys.
Yeah, well, if anybody listening out there knows where Cara Raffaella is, you can hit us up with an email, mike@horseracingradio.net, or you can tweet to us at HRN on Twitter and help Jetta get reunited.
Help me find my girl.
With your all-time favorite. Help her find her girl.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Where'd you go after Wayne?
After Wayne, I went into the Marines, which is the only place to go after you work for Mr. Lucas.
Weren't you already there, sort of?
Sort of. And actually, when I got to boot camp, they were really tough, you know, in a Marine Corps boot camp, Paris Island, South Carolina. They said, we're gonna be so tough on you. We're going to get you up at 5:30 every morning. I said, 5:30? I get to sleep in. I get an extra hour and a half. Woo! Like, this is a vacation. And when I chose my duty station, I chose Camp Pendleton in Southern California, which is about 30 minutes from Del Mar, so that I could keep close to home, and I still helped up my father out during the summers. So
were you still following horse racing when you were serving in the Marines?
Absolutely. Yes, I would go every summer to Del Mar, and I'd help my dad out every weekend, every free chance that I got. And actually, Camp Pendleton is so close to Arcadia, where I grew up, I would go home on the weekends as well for just to be on the racetrack, really.
Who was your dad working with?
At that time, he was working with Jim Cassidy, and then he moved on to Chris and Mulhall.
Love Jim Cassidy.
Yes, Jim's a great guy.
Big New York Yankee fan, too, by the way.
Yes, he is.
He likes to give my wife a hard time. She's a big Red Sox fan, so he always likes to put his Yankee cap on her when he sees her.
He likes
a picture.
The Yankees and the Washington Redskins. Those are his two.
Oh, that's
teams.
Right. Yes. Yeah, like Keith Chamberlain from the NTRA. Yeah. He's a big Washington Redskin fan.
Is he?
Yeah, I haven't met too many, so they kind of stand out. So outside of Wayne, what were some of your other favorite jobs that you got a chance to have in the business?
Well, I worked for Mandela for a number of years while I was in college, and again when I was coming back from injury this past year, and he's wonderful to work for. If Mr. Lucas is the coach, then Mandela is the teacher, because he wants you to know everything that he knows. And if he's coming up with an idea, and he'll be sitting over there concocting ideas, he's a little magician there in his office.
Very cerebral, which
very.
We had to explain to him what that was.
Because he doesn't think of himself that way. He doesn't understand why people don't think about horses in the same way that he does. It's just part of his, you know, sixth sense.
And that's all he thinks about.
All he thinks about. All
day,
every
day. That's what
makes
him so good.
But he'll be in the corner, and he'll be talking with Angel, his assistant. He'll say, now I want everyone to know this. I want you to go show everyone. So there's no excuse to not know. And to be a person that wants to share that knowledge, especially in this day and age, is amazing. He's wonderful. Loved working for him.
Richard Mandela, absolutely brilliant. Yes. It sounds like you've had the chance to learn from some of the best.
I spent time in Bobby Frankel's barn as well, and that was amazing. He was a horseman of horsemen, and Umberto, his assistant, was also an amazing horseman. So just to always have been around, and, you know, when you're a young person, people don't think that you pick up on the things that they're saying and that you're not observing, but you are. And so just to be able to observe people like Charlie Whittingham and Noble Threewitt and Bobby Frankel and Richard Mandela, I mean, I was like a kid in a candy store. That's like telling any young kid who's into basketball that they get to spend the day with the Lakers, you know, or whoever their favorite team is. It was just, for me, I got to go see the superstars of my sport every single day.
Yeah, pretty special.
It was pretty special.
Pretty special. Well, thanks for sharing that story with us, and thanks for spending a few minutes with us here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Jetta Vaughns, everybody, and maybe you'll hear more from her coming up on the Horse Racing Radio Network down the road. But you can check out the podcast of yesterday's Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview Show, which is up on our website now. Jetta, Jude, and Anthony Stabile handicap the big races this weekend. Do it now. It's all at horseracingradio.net. Another one in the books, JT.
Yeah.
You're heading to California for Christmas. I'll be flying solo on the program next week.
Well, maybe Jetta
maybe
can
I'll
help
come
you.
Join you. there you go.
Wow, I walked right into that one, didn't I? All right, for our producer, Lee Della Pina, doing a great job. For Jude Feld and for Chauncey, handling all of our social media. For everybody tuning in coast to coast and worldwide, we appreciate that here this morning. For all of our special guests, Ron Anderson in the first half of the program, Brett Jones, and for Ron Nicoletti, and of course, Jetta Vaughn sitting in with us here for that final segment. I'm Mike Penna, and until next week, hey, you know what I'm going to say, JT? Go Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.